Okay, let me start us off first. Like,
okay.
Officially. And then you can go into your spiel. Hello, hello, and welcome. I'm Nick Korn. Joining me are...
Will.
Lincoln.
And welcome to the Leaku Studios Podcast, Freeware Game Review, Episode 28, Savage. Excited about this game, go into your spiel.
It is one of my favorite games ever, so I am happy to spiel.
I'm kind of just giving you free reign, and I'll ask questions if I think something needs to be
okay.
Cleared.
Savage is, according to its creators, a real-time strategy shooter, an RTSS.
It was originally, like, I don't know if it has it anymore, but when it was released, it was the biggest budget independent game ever, or something like that, with a budget of like $2 million. It originally actually released in stores, like on discs. I remember I first read about it, you know, they gave it a, GameSpot gave it a 5 out of 10. And I saw it on the, like, it was at the time I was actually like obsessively stalking GameSpot reviews. And I read it, and I was like, holy shit, this sounds like the best game ever, despite the fact that their entire review was pretty much saying this game sucks. And I went out and bought it immediately, and now it is even free. Like, it didn't do well enough in stores, so they started selling it direct download only. After a while, after like 4 years, I think they were like, yeah, we're not going to make any more money off of this ever. This is an old game now, we're just going to give this out. So then they just made it a free download.
And people modded the crap
yeah.
out of it.
Well, they also modded the crap out of it themselves. Savage 1.0 and the current not modded version, which is Savage 2.0D, I think, are almost completely different. They added a new unit for each side, they added a new building for each side, and they rebalanced a lot of stuff in 2.0. But Savage has evolved a lot. It is somewhere in between three genres, which are real-time strategy game, shooter, and an action, like a first-person shooter, and a third-person action game. And it has a fair number of RPG elements as well. So it's very not genred. It's also almost not a real game, which is part of the criticism it got, was it doesn't have a single-player mode, it doesn't even have any bots that you can play against. It has the one mode, which is multiplayer with other people. So, you should either go online. The master server was down for a while. Now there's a community master server up, so it'll actually automatically connect to a master server again, and there's a lot of games up at any given time. So, the best way to play it is honestly just to jump in, and if your commander or team malign you for being a noob, just they're idiots. Because they had to be at that point also. It's not like there's a tutorial. The current version is SFE, which you can download either from the official Savage website now or from the SFE mod page, which has improved a lot of stuff about the original Savage. But basically, back to the original Savage, it is a game in which two teams, typically the beasts and the humans, but you can have human versus human or beast versus beast matches, face off against each other. Each team has a commander, which is, like, one guy who plays it like a top-down real-time strategy game. And everyone else are basically on that team are basically the units in that real-time strategy game. So it requires a lot of teamwork and a lot of communication within a team, which is sometimes where teams online especially end up failing. Is you get a commander who doesn't want to work with their team, or you get team members who decide that they just want to go off and charge in guns blazing rather than going with the team, and those guys usually get killed and either learn or give up on the game. So it's very team-driven. It has things for everyone. If you like RTSs, you can be the commander, and you have 10 NPC workers as well as all of your units. You can build buildings, you can research new guns, new technology, etc., upgrade your buildings, build up your base, build guard towers to defend it, etc., as well as the opponent. While your players, you can just select your players, you can promote some players to officers, and officers can actually sort of give basic commands to non-officer players. And also they appear large on the map, so you have like sub-commanders you can have. And you can select those guys, give them orders, you can chat specifically with your team to tell them to do things, etc. And usually you just want to sort of say, okay, well, they're hitting us like with... They've got siege weapons, they're blowing up our towers, they're going to destroy our base. We have to go into their base and destroy their siege weapon factory so that they can't be siege weapons anymore. You choose what unit you are when you spawn.
Those cost money, though.
Yeah, they cost money.
What's the general gist of, like, how do you win?
Ah, okay. I'm getting too specific. Each side starts with a base. Either humans have the stronghold, beasts have the lair. The goal is to destroy your opponent's stronghold / lair. Hmm. Every 30 seconds, players can respawn at a stronghold or lair. They can also respawn at a sub-lair or a garrison, which is a buildable building that you can build anywhere in the world. And they can also build at spawn flags if you capture them. Spawn flags, anyone can just go up to them and be like, claim! And then their team can spawn there. So, yeah.
Okay, you're saying that it's like a very uncategorizable kind of game, because there's so many elements. Who do you think, like, from which genre should somebody be from in order to pick it up more easily? I would almost say to be from, like, a shooter sort of sensibility, because
it certainly doesn't hurt to... It depends which side you're playing. Mm. If you're humans are very gun-focused, you would do very well to be good with a shooter. Mm. Beasts have certainly ranged weapons, but their melee attacks are a lot stronger. So I don't think a shooter focus is as important.
But it's not like they're controlled differently. It's still sort of WASD and then left click to attack.
Yes,
in general,
definitely. You have to beasts almost have to be learned a different way though, because you have your right click dash, where you can hit right click in a direction to do like a really fast hop in some direction and drain some of your stamina.
So that's almost a little better from like a brawler type perspective.
Right.
Yeah.
And beasts, you can either just try to rush right at someone. Or, like, if someone's about to shoot you with a rocket or something, you can just be like, dodge sideways.
Yeah.
And beasts are very good at closing distance and then using their very powerful claws or swords to dice up humans, who are much weaker in melee. But they can block. Their right-click, human right-click is to block a melee attack. You have to time it right, but you just deflect the melee attack and don't get hit by it.
That's cool.
So, yeah, that definitely helps. It does, at least a lot of the people who we have who play it aren't really gamers, and you can pick it up pretty well, because if you don't want to go straight into combat, if you're not very good at it yet, you sort of don't have to. You can hang out at the base and help build buildings, or you can, you know, just kill NPCs and get money.
Or go mine and stuff.
Yeah.
Among things.
The best way to... The thing is, there's gold in the game. You get gold for killing enemies. You get gold for destroying and for attacking enemy buildings. You don't have to destroy them. Mm-hmm. You can get gold for destroying the NPCs on the map, who are like monkeys or chipmunks or whatever, that drop fairly little. And
killing
gold,
enemies,
yeah,
or players.
Killing players is the big way, though. They drop 1,000 or 2 gold. Every time you die, you lose all the stuff you have and defaults back to the basic unit. You can spend gold to get a better unit than the basic unit, and to get better weapons than having no weapon. Hmm. Though each side has a few free weapons that are sort of terrible. You know, bow and arrow
and your
basic
team
stuff.
Shares a pool of gold, basically.
Yeah, like half the gold you earn goes to you, half the gold you earn goes to the commander's pool of gold. For the commander's pool of gold, they can either spend it to build towers and things, though most things are built with redstone, which are a resource they have to mine, or they can give it back to players, or players can request to get gold. So, like, if a player says, I want to get a big catapult so I can blow up some of their buildings, the commander can say, okay, here's 10,000 gold.
Or they could use it to research other weapons and such.
No.
No?
All of that is redstone.
Okay. Is there a resource other than redstone and gold?
Redstone and gold are the two resources.
Okay.
Generally...
Really? It's redstone for research? That
redstone
doesn't
is,
make sense.
Redstone is for research. Yeah. Well, redstone is, like, for progress as a team...
Yeah. No, like in gameplay it makes sense. Like you have like one for to get better and the other one to actually use it. But
right. It's
like, man, we're not learning enough. Bring me more rocks.
Exactly. It's definitely a game that puts gameplay first.
Yeah.
The aesthetics are sort of just a thing that they put there so it wasn't blocks fighting each other.
But it's almost weird that you say that, cuz like at least when I play it, it feels like there's so much to do, it's almost like, it's hard to say that it should be gameplay first, because it's almost like, there's so much gameplay, you have no idea where to start.
That's what your commander's for.
I know.
It's the commander, hopefully a player should be thinking primarily, not what can I do, but what should I be doing to benefit the team. Hmm. Because if you have players just wandering around willy-nilly, your team is going to get decimated if the other team are all focusing on goals. Hmm. So usually the commander should be saying, okay, right now we need to get a sub-lair over here.
Yeah.
Three or four of you guys, go over there, guard that area while I get enough resources to build a sub-lair there. And three of you guys, go attack the enemy base and just heckle them. Kill some of their workers, you know, avoid the players who are trying to kill you and just keep doing infrastructure damage so that hopefully we can get ahead of them technologically.
Yeah. So it's like you were saying, it's very team based. Like it's almost like there's not much point to playing if you don't have a decent sized team for each size.
Yeah, though it has its benefits for 1v1 or 2v2. I play 1v1 against people a lot, which is hard because you have to both you can enter and leave command at any time, so you have to both be the commander and your only unit. So it's a very different game if you play a 1v1. That's really not how it's designed to be played.
Yeah.
But we usually play it at LAN parties with about 5 on each team, and it works pretty well.
Yeah.
Even though it can go up to, I think, 64 in a game, so 32 on each team. Mm. So it can get very big.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems to me that 1v1 is more just like if you want to have a challenge for yourself than
the
other person.
Yes, definitely. That's the best way to learn command, though, is to... Because there's commanding is actually really hard, and if you're playing online or in a game with a fair number of people, everyone will expect you to know how to command already. So you really need to just make your own server and either command on your own with no opponent just to get used to it, or command versus someone else who has never commanded, and just learn commanding so that when you need to command later, you're not screwed.
Yeah.
So, especially if you're online... Basically, don't command unless you're really good at it. Because there are certain milestones players know for, quote, a good commander. Get savages by 6 minutes into the game. Get preds by 11 minutes into the game. Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, there's milestones that people look for. And if you're not able to keep those up, people will not even listen to you. Mm-hmm. Like, people just say, you're a bad commander. And then they'll call a vote to kick you out of command, which will almost certainly pass, and someone else will take over. So, don't bother with that. Also, your team might lose, because the other commander will be better.
Yeah. Will, how would you compare Savage to, like,
I've never played Natural Selection, which is the only game that I think is like it.
Okay. apparently Tremulous is like it, but I haven't played that
I've never played Tremulous, so I didn't even know it existed.
We should look into that, okay. But, like, then you should probably try playing enemy Natural Selection.
I know, I actually tried it once, and joined an online server... And tried playing it and was really confused and then logged off. I was like, yeah, I know how to play Savage. We play Savage at all the LAN parties anyway. Why bother learning another game like that? Savage is very, very well balanced in a number of ways. Like, every time I think Savage isn't balanced, it proves me wrong. It wasn't balanced originally, but it's gone through so many fan updates. At this point, each of the three sides has three different weapon tech trees that they can pursue, all of which are basically balanced against each other, though have their strengths and weaknesses. And then the humans and beasts have very different approaches of looking at the world. Like, all of their different items, each side has 8, quote, items that you can use that are, like, one-shot items that you can buy, which are all completely different also, well, with a few exceptions. Like, both sides has the equivalent of landmines, but most of them are different. And they're all well-balanced anyway. Like, humans... Like, beasts have Mist Shroud, which sort of benefits... Humans have strong weapons like rocket launchers, which are okay against towers. Where beasts don't have strong range weapons, but they have Mist Shroud. Well, they have Behemoth.
That's just a unit.
Mist Shroud lets your beast unit go, like, invisible, so towers can't see them to shoot them. And then you can just run up and start meleeing the tower while it can't see you.
Or you can
just run past them and into their base. Depending on if the person built a ton of towers or just a lot of towers.
Right.
The last LAN party over Thanksgiving, one of our beast team built literally 45 towers. The entire top of the map was a field of towers. You just look and there were towers in every direction forever.
I remember Adam was a fan of towers.
Alternately, as humans, human towers are squares. So you can, in fact, build them edge to edge to make a wall out of them. You can build walls out of towers, and they're ridiculous. But behemoths can counter that tactic, because behemoths are strong enough. They can punch through the wall, and then units can all Mist Shroud run through.
Yeah.
So, like, the thing is, there's a lot of stuff you can do, but it's all really balanced. Like, almost astonishingly balanced.
See, that's the thing. Like, I think I've only been in, like, one game where there was, like, full teams, and it was actually really balanced, really fun. But it still seems like, it just has, like, a really high learning curve, I think. Because it's like, you kind of have to, like, play by yourself to find out what there is to do and how to do things. And then, so that way you're ready, so when you're in a multiplayer game, people are commanding you, you can just go do it.
Or play with friends. Again, I LAN party Savage a lot, and everyone I LAN party with are not gamers, most of whom have never played a shooter before or never played a computer game other than, like, Civilization before. Or The Sims. So, and we're usually perfectly happy to put someone in and say WSAND moves. That's usually the biggest learning curve, is figuring out how WSAD works.
Really?
Yeah, moving around, and then saying, you know, just hang out in the base. If there are buildings being built, go click on them to build them. And if a guy comes up, you can try running up to them and clicking on them to melee them. And, like, just explain the basics. And then as you play the game, you can learn that there's more stuff to play. Mm-hmm. Like, I honestly would say that I think the best way to do it isn't to sit back and try to take it all in. It's just jump in, figure stuff out. If you suck, oh well, you'll stop sucking pretty soon. Usually 2 or 3 games about 45 minutes each, give or take. Mm-hmm. 2 or 3 games and someone knows essentially everything. Because you can see process of watching, like, okay, they're using siege units, that's how siege units work. I'm gonna go use siege units. You know, stuff like that. Like, you can, by seeing stuff used against you, you can get a feel for how the game works. You don't really need to know it all at the start.
The only problem is that by then, if it's like your first time through, if they're already using it and you're trying to watch that music, you're probably already dead because they're using it.
But that's what you have a team for, is though you're not going to be the only new player. You're not going to be the only player who sucks, even if they're not a new player. Mm. I mean, especially if you are coming from a background of being a gamer and knowing, you know, how to aim the crosshairs at the guy and click to shoot them, like, you can do that.
Yeah.
That's, you're not hurting your team by not being a siege unit, because you can't all be siege units.
Yeah.
So, like, as long as you can get at least one mechanic down, teams usually need people, at least a person or two, for each sort of thing. Mm. With a few exceptions, sometimes the behemoth team says, let's behemoth rush. Everyone gets a behemoth, which is like a giant, like, 30-foot tall elephant guy who wields a tree as his weapon and just whacks it into buildings to knock them down.
And it's like the only unit I'm effective as.
Well, it's awesome because if you're behemoth rush, they're so big and have so much health. They can just run through and knock down all the towers and run in. And the effective counter for that is to use either a lot of plasma guns and rocket launchers, or if you have the money to, catapults can kill them in 2 hits. So
summoners are pretty good, too.
Summoners definitely, if you're beast versus beast, summoners can take them out. Or ballistas are very good if you're humans. So it's one of those games that looks complex but really isn't.
Once you get the hang of it.
Once you get the hang of it, it's pretty cool. Like, yeah, Lincoln, you learned it more recently than I have. I've been playing this since 03, I think, so you can probably talk about that more. Or you can shrug.
I'll shrug. I know, it's a pretty good game. I like it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's free. You don't even have to install it. Like, you just download it as a zip file. It's a 200 megabyte folder that you run.
Right. It'll run off a flash key.
It runs in Linux and OS X just as well as in Windows. Though OS X, I have heard, has more issues just because OpenGL is wonky there in weird OpenGL land. But, yeah.
Okay.
You have to have working OpenGL. Some crappy integrated graphics cards don't have working OpenGL, and it does in Vista, and it doesn't work on those. So, but if you have a real graphics card or you're not running Vista, you're fine. And even if you do have an integrated graphics card in Vista, it'll probably work.
Okay, so Savage, got anything else to say? Like Final Fantasy?
It's awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's one of my favorite games. So, final thoughts are like, go play it. If you can get friends together to play it, you're going to have a great time.
Yeah.
If you can bring it to a LAN party, people are frequently willing to try it at a LAN party. I've brought it to and introduced it to both the, a Penn State LAN party and the RPI-ACM LAN parties. We've done Savage at, and it's always a big hit at LAN parties, even if no one knows how to play it, really. So...
Okay.
It's fun. It's got something for everyone, which really works.
Yeah. All right. Lincoln, final thought?
No.
Okay. So I'll link to the main website. Should I link to anything else?
No, they've got linked to SFE, which is, I think, now the only real official mod slash it's now the real Savage. So.
Okay. So I'll link to that in show notes at www.leekustudios.net/podcast. Then that'll be about it until the next time we talk to you people.
Mm-hmm. Which will be sometime in October.
I think so, yeah. All right, good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good day.
Good night.
Good evening.
Tomorrow.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
No, today's the next one.
The music for this episode was Savage Death Mountain by Yoru, found on Newgrounds Audio Corp. It's a whole bunch of crazy ska people.